Welcome to the NLC Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, reacting to day two of the NFL free agency tampering period. So this is a reaction to Tuesday. Wednesday, we'll probably get a whole bunch of actual contracts signed, as that's the actual day, the league rollover and the like there. So I would characterize today as more of a, I don't know if sit around and wait is the right way to describe it. Some ancillary deals that I think on the margins, they more impact other people than they really do the guys signed today. For example, Tyrod Taylor, 2 for $17 million. That's not nothing. I think one of the things that'll be important about looking at some of these contracts after the fact, like let's get Jameis and some other guys actually signed, but maybe we even create like a scale, if you will, of like annual contract value, maybe even guaranteed. You know, look at that sort of idea and say, hey, where do these sort of rank in terms of expectations of starting? I think that would be something looking forward. Might be a little bit of an edge that we can exploit. But I do think Tyrod very much in the high-end backup bridge starter insurance against Daniel Jones category. This isn't signing, this isn't, for example, the Patriots signing Brian Hoyer to back up Mac Jones, right? This is very much a in case of emergency, we have an option if Daniel Jones can't play. It's a reminder that Daniel Jones is not on scholarship anymore. I think that those things are all important. So again, I don't think it's a huge, huge deal for Tyrod. I don't think he was going to get a starting job, but the fact that he gets 2 years, $17 million, definitely puts him in the, hey, I'm a live threat, right? A live out, if you're thinking about in poker, a live threat to Daniel Jones. You just compare that to a guy like Colt McCoy, right? 2 years, $7.5 million. Not a live threat to Kyler. So I do want to, it's going to be an off-season project. We sort of start working on some of these. I want to get like the Jameis thing done because Trubisky will be on it. You know, we'll be able to have a scale here on these. It'll be an interesting thing to look at. Brian Hoyer, 2 for $4 million, right? You sort of get the idea. The scale of these things is different. The guys left really a quarterback. Big, you know, I think today could best be characterized as what's going to happen with Deshaun Watson. Right? That's really, of every piece of news that happened today, that's the biggest one. Meeting with Cleveland, meeting with the Saints, Atlanta, a dark horse contender. Doesn't look like Seattle's in. It doesn't really look like Pittsburgh's in. I was surprised about the Atlanta one. That's going to take a lot of machinations, I think, for that to actually happen. One of the things that I would wonder with that is has Matt Ryan's contract actually been converted? Because I know that is something that was talked about. And I would wonder, you know, hey, they're going to convert his contract, right? That's the agreed upon thing. Well, has that actually happened or did it? Is that what's going to happen, right? I think that is a big question that I would have. They would take on a huge dead money charge, would take on a huge cap loss as well if they traded Matt Ryan this year, right? So already a team kind of up against it cap-wise. I don't know how they make it work. I don't think rostering both of them, for example, is a workable solution at a $36.7 million cap hit for Deshaun Watson. I think that's them flattering themselves, honestly. I just don't see how that could work. Again, I've been proven wrong before on some of these things, but I'd be surprised at how they actually make this work. Then I have about $11 million worth of actual effective cap space to sort of make that work. I guess if they wanted to eat $18 million, I guess it could be possible, but it's going to be tough. And then you're going to basically be in a Houston situation all over again, which would be not enough surrounding talent around Deshaun Watson to get past the first round of the playoffs. He's basically like almost an NBA version of James Harden, right? He's good enough alone to basically get you, into the playoffs. Like that's an overstatement of it, but it's pretty close to true, right? Is the closest to that that we've really seen. When you look at his cap number would be 40. So it's already they're taking a massive hit on some of that. I don't know. Maybe if Houston were to sort of eat some of that contract, I mean, it would have to be some real machinations. I don't think that the Falcons thing is an actual reality. I think it's much more likely that you see Cleveland, that you see the Saints. I think that those situations would be good. I mean, the Saints, and there's guys in our orbit too that this could help. Amari Cooper, for example, with Cleveland, I think that'd be a ceiling raiser, a floor raiser. That'd be a really good situation for him. Njoku as well. With the Saints, it would help Kamara. It would help Michael Thomas, right? All of those situations would be really good. So I think we're sort of trending in the right direction. It seems like it's gotten more pared down as of the past couple of days or so. So that's really the deal there. James White back 2 for $5 million with the Patriots. So again, I don't even think that's like super a guarantee. We'll see in terms of what the actual specifics are, but I would assume that he's actually going to be back, and that keeps him there. But I wouldn't necessarily write that in pen his roster spot. Probably puts a cap on the ceiling of Damian Harris, who probably saw that coming. That this is really prob they're never going to really turn the keys over to him. They bring back James White, and that's kind of the just another confirmation of that. Kind of more shapes Damian Harris in a high-end running back to rushing centric in that than any sort of actual full-on three down role. JD McKissick to the Bills. This is an interesting one. I did some polling and stuff just to see the difference between perception and reality on some of these players. And one of the things that I did was on Devin Singletary, good or bad pass catcher, and everyone said, the majority said good. I mean, he actually ranked like amongst, if not the worst, in terms of yards per route run. This is an improvement, undoubtedly an improvement. This is should help for the Bills. This should actually help Antonio Gibson. We'll see in terms of some of the ceiling stuff. Hey, the question was posed today. Hey, is this the time to sell him? I don't think so. I mean, I sort of view the running back situation as one that it's basically a top five and then a tier break, and I think you could definitely see a scenario where you get to he's basically the beginning of the next tier. I don't think that's I wouldn't put a huge amount on that, but I think that there's a realistic possibility that he sort of gets to that spot, especially with some of the talk of this going on. So I would probably let that build more, because I don't think there's probably a direct threat to that coming, and let it go. By way of reference, Antonio Gibson and Josh Jacobs the same yards per route run last year, and Gibson ran about 80 less routes than Jacobs did. They ranked a combined total 59th at the position overall when you sort for guys that had basically 20 targets. They ranked 34th at the position. So again, this isn't a this is one of those situations that's a concern for me with Gibson is in theory he should be a really good pass catcher, but in practice he's been basically the median, right? He's essentially right at the median number. He's 34 out of 68 qualifiers. So, this is one of those like, why does Goddard make so much sense? Well, Goddard's as a monster and just hasn't run that many routes. There's multiple projections you have to make for Antonio Gibson. It's, hey, he has to improve from what he's been to become a monster, and he's got to run the routes. You have to have two things that happen instead of one. So calling me a little skeptical of that, of the huge, huge ceiling on Antonio Gibson at present. Some other ones here. Tevin Coleman back for a year with the Jets. We'll see. I'm not sure that's a guaranteed deal or anything like that. So we'll be on the watch for that. Maybe that puts a little bit of a cap in Michael Carter, for example, that might actually insulate Michael Carter against some day two competition. So it could go, maybe cap some ceiling, but also protect some floor, if you will. Deonta Foreman goes to Carolina. I think that's an interesting one from how does it affect Chuba Hubbard? I don't think Deonta Foreman's any guarantee to be ahead of Chuba Hubbard, or that this supplants Chuba Hubbard. But I do think if we're picking up rogue shares, maybe we diversify that backfield, right? Have some investment in each guy. 1 for 10 for DJ Shark. I don't know if I mentioned him the last night or not. I believe that happened yesterday. But 1 for 10, it's a prove it deal with Detroit. I don't think they're done. I don't think this necessarily hurts anyone. He's a good opportunity for him. We'll see. This will probably be one of those situations where it's going to hurt Amon-Ra St. Brown's market perception. I was able to get a first for Amon-Ra St. Brown the other day. It was part of a bigger deal where I actually took Amon-Ra St. Brown as part of a McCaffrey deal, where I gave up a couple of firsts and then I spun Amon-Ra St. Brown back off for a first. It was basically somewhat of a new technique I've been thinking about in terms of some of these trades. So we'll talk about that at a future point, but that one actually worked. So I wonder if that market's still there, but that existed for a period of time. What's left really at the receiver position? I mean, this is the big, there's a lot here, especially for us. Allen Robinson, Juju Smith-Schuster, Will Fuller, Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham Jr. There's a lot of shoes left to drop. Some really good spots too. Wide receiver two spots in Buffalo and Kansas City, fully in the range of outcome there. A wide receiver one spot in Atlanta, if they were able to make that work, it's fully possible as well. So there's still good spots out there that I think are really interesting for these wide receivers. And I'm really surprised. Like, we're seeing Chark go off. We're seeing Cedric Wilson. We're seeing guys like Christian Kirk. We're seeing Zay Jones going off before Allen Robinson, Juju Smith-Schuster, Fuller, right? I just think they're lower ceiling bets, and there's some good opportunities still out there. So I think we'll look back and be like, "Oh, look, Kansas City got a discount on Allen Robinson or on Jarvis Landry." Same for Buffalo on the other guy, right? Like, hey, Green Bay waited and got this guy, right? I mean, like, it's going to be the good teams that are going to have waited on these guys, I think, and ultimately feel better, in week two of free agency than Jacksonville will have felt in week one. For the running backs, I didn't mention these guys in passing here. Cordarrelle Patterson and Leonard Fournette, the big shoes to drop. Sony Michel, Melvin Gordon, Rashad Penny, Daryl Williams, another name. There's a whole bunch more that haven't gotten signed yet, but those are really the big ones. And Daryl Williams is plenty in our orbit as well. It's funny because a lot of both at running back and at wide receiver, the big names have not gone off. It's been more the ancillary guys. So lots of shoes to drop. And everyone thinks, oh, the first day of free agency, it's so exciting. Well, there's actually plenty more to come, especially with the Watson shoe to drop. So, if it's Wednesday, Thursday, later this week, definitely plenty still to go here. We'll have covered each day, but exciting times and constantly changing stuff here. So, hopefully, this will be the last night of the lack of a microphone. I'm just recording this late Tuesday night, flying back Wednesday morning, and we'll be able to record from the AOD bunker on Wednesday night, so you'll be done with the this different audio quality for me. So until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.